Acts chapter 1. We're in a series called Acts Alive. And this is, of course, written by Luke, Paul's beloved physician. We have discerned and spent a lot of time with Luke as we've made our way through the book of Luke before. And throughout history, historians found Luke to find disfavor, but what they've really discovered over the course of time is that Luke, in actuality, is one of the most accurate ancient historians of all time. He probably wrote the book of Acts, I'm going to repeat a few things for you by summary, around the year 62 AD. It was prior to Paul's death. Paul, who was his traveling companion in essence, probably died in 68 AD. And then what happened in 70 AD? Anybody remember? Titus overran Jerusalem, the fall of Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people died. And had this taken place and been written after 70 AD or after 68 AD, surely Luke would have recorded that in his historical record. So what we do find, though, is Acts chapter 28 comes to an abrupt halt. The book of Acts is still being written today because God is still moving through Acts alive through his saints today. Are you a saint? If you're saved by grace, you're a saint. Excuse me, I'll pick my lower voice. You're a saint. If you're filled with the Spirit and you are saved by grace and you belong to Jesus Christ, you're one of his people. Acts indeed is a book of transition. From the Gospels, we transition into the book of Acts. There is a Greek word called praxis. Praxis. And praxis was a traditional Greek word used to describe the acts of and accomplishments of great men and women in antiquity. In this case, the praxis, or the great works of the Holy Spirit through his church, are what are being described as we make our way through the book of Acts. It is the Acts of the Apostles, but better yet, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit moving through his people. I want to ask you a question this morning. Can the Holy Spirit use you?
Yes.
Don't have to say it shy. It's okay. Can the Holy Spirit use you?
Yes.
Can the Holy, thank you, can the Holy Spirit speak to you?
Yes.
All right, every eye closed. Quiet. I want you to listen for the voice of the Spirit of God to speak to your heart right now. Every eye closed. God's going to speak to you right now. Sounded like a little boy's voice. Sorry. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to his people. Now, if you're having trouble listening or trouble hearing, it's okay. Don't be discouraged. We're going to make our way through the book of Acts and learn how to better hear the voice of the Spirit. And this morning's message is called Transitions, and we're going to watch how the apostles listened to his voice. Maybe it's something simple, an instruction. Maybe it's simply a word of encouragement. Did you hear something? If you didn't hear anything, let me be the voice of the Spirit to tell you, Jesus is saying, I love you. That's very biblical. This is a book of transitions. Let's go on. The book of transitions. We were in the Gospels where it was about Jesus and his acts. Now we're in the Acts of the Spirit. He's telling us there is a great commission. Go and teach. Go make and formulate disciples. Bring my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now in the book of Acts, we will transition from primarily a set of Jewish believers to, by the end of Acts, a Gentile and Jewish group of believers. Gentiles flooding into the kingdom of God, being filled by the Spirit and being accepted by the grace of God. All then accepting the mission to fill this earth with God's glory. Why did Door of Grace come here to this neighborhood? To be a blessing. To help fill the earth with what? His glory. Are you here to be a blessing? Sure. Luke begins Acts where he left off in his gospel. This is a pivotal book. We're going to go from the gospel to the epistles, onto history. We're going to go from Judaism to Christianity. We're going to go from law to grace as we move into the divine dealings of God with his people. We're moving from the Jews alone to, I just said, to the Jews and the Gentiles. From the kingdom of God to the church. The kingdom of God, how does it come on earth as it is in heaven? How is he going to accomplish that? Through us. Can the Holy Spirit use you? In fact, we better be candidates to be used by the Spirit. Because how's he going to do it? He's not just going to move through the trees. He wants to move through his people. And it's his people that will help to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I've got some very simple points to make this morning. And the purpose overall, the overriding purpose of this lesson is to watch and see what the apostles did as they listened to the Spirit. God calls us, he cleans us, he changes us, he calls us, he cleans us, he changes us by grace, by his Spirit. He enables us to walk with him by his Spirit. Now, remember the instructions. I'm still in Acts chapter 1, and then we're going to go next week on into Acts chapter 2. But what was the instruction of Jesus to his people, to his disciples? Go and wait for the promise of the Father. Go wait till there's a fulfillment of the empowering of the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad, church, that Jesus doesn't say, I want you to go try real hard in your own works to go live and be a perfect Christian. Just go do it on your own. Try. Okay. Aren't you glad that's not what he says? He says, I want you to be my follower, but I'm also not just going to call you to that. I'm going to clean you up by the blood, and I'm going to empower you by the Spirit in order to be that follower. It's not just go and do. It's here's the power to go and do. So that's what it's all about as we take a look at why they are waiting. What did it say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a pivotal verse in this chapter? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Today, let's go on to verse 14. They then obeyed him. They obeyed him. These all continued with, say the phrase with me, please, with one accord. These all continued with what? These all continued with what? That's powerful. That's powerful. They didn't divide over the wrong shape or color of the pillar in the upper room. They didn't have issues over whether or not communion was done in a certain way. They said, God's given us something to do and something to wait for. This whole thing called the kingdom of God is a lot bigger than our issues. Come on, let's go get together and wait for God to do what he's promised. Church, door of grace, isn't that something we can do? God's called us to be a part of bringing his kingdom. So we look at each other, we say, okay, now let's make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. The kingdom of God is most important. Jesus is number one. Let's encourage each other in our growth. Let's wait for the kingdom. Let's wait for the endowment. Let's wait for the power. Okay, praise God, we received it. Now let's go and do. The kingdom of God is a lot bigger than sticks and stones may break my bones. It's a lot bigger than the... By the way, nice, lovely, wonderful job on the landscaping, Betty. Thank you very much. Yeah. Amen. But you see, it's a work. The building is a work in progress. But the purpose of why are we even doing landscaping and doing the different things? The overarching purpose of God is much bigger. So we invite people to a welcoming facility. Why? Why? Just to be a nice group who likes hanging out? Well, that's true, but it's bigger to see Jesus, to know Jesus, to know his word, to be a part of his kingdom, to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to bring a blessing to this neighborhood. But how many of you know it's bigger than just the neighborhood to bring a blessing to Port Ludlow? And you understand it's bigger than Port Ludlow. It's the entire Olympic Peninsula, and it's the entire state of Washington. And oh, by the way, it's bigger than the state of Washington. It's to see his glory fill the United States of America and to watch a country come to repentance and turn again to God. And we want to see the kingdom of God spread throughout the entire earth. He said he would fill the earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. It's bigger than you and me right here in Port Ludlow, isn't it? It's bigger than us right here, isn't it? Isn't there a cause? Isn't there a purpose? So, how are they going to be a part of fulfilling the purpose? They had to obey God, and then they begin to listen and receive the Spirit of God in their life. Let's go to Acts 1:14. We're going to finish up some things in chapter 1. These all continued, as we said, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The folly of people that cut off women from leadership in the body of Christ and from being a vital part of the kingdom of God, I do not understand. When you take a look at the Bible and you see the powerful place from the beginning of the scriptures to the ending of scripture at how much women are used, anointed by God, and powerfully, wonderfully enabled by God, I don't understand how people can reach a conclusion that they don't play a part. Guess what, ladies? You play a vital part. Amen. Look at each other and say, amen. No, say amen. They continued. The word continue in the Greek is proskateero. Proskateero. And that word means they didn't just dally around. What were they doing in the upper room? That word is full of passion. They were earnest toward. They were persevering. They were constantly diligent. They attended assiduously to all the exercises. They were praying. They were in the scriptures. They were encouraging each other. What'd you get from the word today? How's Jesus doing? What's he doing in your life? Oh, share with me. You need some prayer? Let's encourage each other. They were passionate. They were earnest about this walk with God, and they were waiting in a powerful, adhering closely way. What did we talk about last week? About the promises. Don't put space between you and the promises of God, is what the Greek word means. They were adhering closely to, attending on what God had called them to do. Remember, Jesus said, go and wait. They were doing it. They were passionately seeking God. 120 people, at least, were in this upper room seeking God. They were in one accord. Homothomadon. Homothomadon. And it means literally unanimously. They were unanimously seeking God. Now there's something important here as leadership in the body of Christ. Let me tell you a principle that we've always abided by, that I believe is a safety valve as a leadership team in the body of Christ. We do things in unanimity. I almost said that word. Unanimity. Unanimously. If we're not unanimously agreed upon an issue, in my belief and faith and practice, that then we have also, that I do here, is I don't go forward on that issue until we do have harmony. It's not just majority rule in the body of Christ. There's a safety valve. Sometimes if I want to do something, I might have heard accurately from the Lord, but maybe I didn't get the timing right. And so my brother or my sister might have a check in the spirit, and I go, okay, then let's wait on that timing before the Lord. Because God will change my heart or yours as we assiduously seek Him and stay in one accord. We don't let our check or our discernment that may differ divide us. We seek harmony and a unanimous perspective as we listen to the Spirit. Does that mean anything to you at all? To me, that's safety. You understand what I'm saying? There's safety in that. One mind, one heart, not majority, but harmony as we wait before the Lord. Now, talk about one accord. How many remember the Tower of Babel? Remember the Tower of Babel? Remember? Come on. Say, oh no, or amen, or oh goodbye, or something. Remember the Tower of Babel? They were in harmony. Were they in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord? No, they weren't in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord. They were just in harmony. And the Bible said God looked down from heaven. They were building this great big tower. And probably at the top of the signs, by the way, or at the top of the tower were the signs of the zodiac. There's a whole study on this whole thing, interestingly enough. They were trying to what? Get to God, build their own monument to heaven. How many understand a lot of people try to build their own way to going to heaven? Okay, that's a whole other point, I understand. But they built a tower, and God said, you know, these people aren't in harmony the right way, but they got a powerful thing going. And if I don't scatter what they're doing right now, there's nothing that will be kept from them. The whole point is this, that one accord is full of power. The people who are in one accord can accomplish powerful things for Jesus Christ. When it's full of the Spirit of God and full of life and we're in one accord, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One accord, one heart, one mind, being on the same page, having the goal that the Spirit of God has, having the purpose that the Spirit of God has, one mind, one heart, unanimity. Unanimously moving, unanimously. The power of unity is an incredible thing. Why do you think Jesus says, listen, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. And when you got God in the midst, you got a majority. No matter what the issue is. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. How many of you think of that as being you're in a room, And the devil will not be able to overcome you? That's not what that means. You ever seen a gate chasing anybody down? It means you're on the onslaught. You're on the forward attack. You're full of the Spirit of God. You're in unanimity and unanimously moving with the rest of the people in the body of Christ. One heart, one mind, one spirit, and bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And the gates of hell are going to fall before the power of the Spirit that's released in the body of Christ. And the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to happen. It's happening every day, one by one, as we have that Spirit among us. I believe Port Ludlow is being changed because we are here. I don't mean that arrogantly. I believe by the Spirit of God, Door of Grace is changing Port Ludlow. Door of Grace is who? A building. No, Door of Grace is the people. As God changes our lives, we are changing day by day the place in which we live. All right, the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Nothing could be kept. So there's a unanimity. There's a unanimousness. This is crucial. And they were one accord in prayer. Prosuke, earnest prayer. They were worshiping God. They were earnest about that. They were seeking God. They didn't put space between the promises of God and them. They were in prayer and they were in supplication. That means requests. And you know what I bet they were doing? They were probably saying, okay, God, I heard your promise this morning as we quieted and waited on the Lord. I heard you speak to me. And today, when you go home, the thing to not do is forget about it. But what God has spoken to you, seek Him earnestly and say, okay, Lord, do it. Do it. Fulfill it. I want to be a part of what you told me to do. Okay, how can I cooperate? What can I do? You said you were going to do this. Okay, Lord, do it. And I'll bet in the upper room, you had 120 people saying to each other, God said He was going to pour out His Spirit. God said He was going to send the promise of the Father. Jesus told us to come and wait. Okay, guys, come on, let's pray. Oh, God, do it powerfully. Move, 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 move. Don't you think? Do you think 120 people were up in the upper room going, let's have a moment of silent meditation? They might have had a few moments of silent meditation, but I bet they were earnestly, that's what it says, earnestly seeking God. Now, they wanted God to fulfill His word. Now, all right, what I want you to see is then the Spirit of God begins to move in this meeting. And the purpose of this morning's transition is to see the Spirit of God speaks to people. Let's watch what happens. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And what we're going to see is how God moves on somebody in the midst of a seeking God congregation. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled." Now, I love that. There's a passion to hear God, to seek God, and there's a passion to see the scripture be fulfilled. How many in this room can say amen? I want to see the scriptures fulfilled. Amen. You want to see it fulfilled? Okay, God, do it, do it, do it. That's what was on their heart. And he said, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke. You understand, the Spirit of God wants to speak to his people. Now, he spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. Doesn't sound like a pleasant way to go to me. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that field is called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, "Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." I think this is fantastic. Let's just take a moment to see several things. Number one, Peter stands up as their leader. And you know what Peter is? A man full of grace and the Spirit of God. What you're going to see unfold in the book of Acts are especially the ministries and the actions of two main disciples who became apostles. Men of grace, broken by the Spirit of God, and filled powerfully with the Holy Spirit. Peter is the first one for the first many chapters of the book of Acts. And then who's the one who takes over in the second half? Paul. So we'll be especially tuning in to the ministries of Peter and Paul. But Peter was a fisherman endued with the Spirit of God. Not necessarily, we don't necessarily know that he was a lifelong studier of the scriptures. We know he wasn't a rabbi. We know that. We know he wasn't a teacher in the synagogue all day long. Now, he may have indeed been well versed in the scriptures, and probably was. But what's beautiful is all of a sudden, anointed by the Spirit of God who spoke to him, as they're seeking God, Peter stands up, anointed by the Spirit, and says, "This is what happened. This scripture was fulfilled." Now, you're going to see this again unfolding in the book of Acts next week, in Acts chapter 2. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. How'd they know that? The Spirit of God was speaking to them. The Spirit was taking this book and letting it live. This is not just a dead text, but this is something breathed on by the Spirit of God. It's the living Word of God that He allows to come to life in us. And the Spirit of God is now speaking to Peter. It says the scriptures must be fulfilled. Now, remember, the church is a teaching mission. And what did he say? Peter is having an unfolding revelation and an insight on what happened when Judas betrayed the Lord. Remember, these guys were walking with God day by day. He didn't have a script in front of him that Jesus left and said, "Now, 4 days from now, I want you to stand up and talk about Judas, Peter." He didn't have that. He was listening. They were seeking God, and the Spirit spoke to him. Psalm 41:9, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Remember, Peter said the scriptures the Holy Spirit spoke through David had to be fulfilled. Psalm 41:9 is one of those. Psalm 69, verse 25, "Let their dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in their tents." Psalm 109, verse 8, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." Now, how many have ever heard of the imprecatory psalms? The imprecatory psalms. Doesn't sound good, does it? It's not supposed to. They're the psalms in which you will find the cursings that take place on the enemies. The imprecatory psalms. There are messianic psalms where clearly David was prophetically speaking about his own life, but prophetically speaking about the enemies that were coming against the Messiah. They were the royal psalms, if you will, that discussed the king of Israel looking forward to the Christ or the Messiah who was to come. So the enemies spoken about in those psalms are the enemies of the Messiah. Therefore, that's how Judas was predicted. Are you tracking with me? I'm trying to bring some teaching this morning. This is how Judas was predicted of in the Psalms. You don't find King David writing about a man named Judas, but you find him writing what's become known as the imprecatory Psalms. There's other messianic Psalms, and he's writing about the Messiah to come and the enemies that are coming against him. And Judas is the enemy that came against the Messiah, if you will. All right, now, Judas's end. We have here in Acts chapter 1, Judas, his entrails fall out. Now, okay, just another quick aside. Some people say the Bible is not true because you go to the Gospels and it says Judas hung himself. And then you go to the book of Acts and you see a different story. So, ha, 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 the Bible doesn't even agree with itself. You ever heard that? Some of you. Okay, that is a big pitch for unbelievers. The scripture is not true because of that. There's no difficulty between the story in the Gospels and this right here. Probably what happened is one of two things. Judas hung long enough on the cross that he got swollen. He swelled up. I'm allergic to food. I eat food and I swell up. Anyway, he was hanging there and he swelled up, finally burst. More likely what happened is he hung himself on a tree that overhung a cliff. And when he hung himself, the limb broke and he fell and was dashed on the rocks below. So there really is no stretch of how to see these two merge and be fulfilled. All right, the field of blood. Judas didn't technically purchase the field of blood, but remember when he was paid 30 pieces of silver, and what did he do with it? He threw it back to the priests. So therefore, the priests and others purchased this field in Judas's name. It is not exactly certain where this field is today. But it was most likely a field of blood, could have become a burial ground, that kind of thing. All right, what I think is really instructive for us today, and what I'm simply trying to draw to our attention, is the Spirit of God moved on these people and moved on Peter as they were intensely, passionately seeking the Lord. And the Spirit of God spoke to his heart, Peter, here's what happened with Judas. And Judas stood in their midst, and with a passionate heart and a full commitment to see the scriptures fulfilled, he began to teach the people what unfolded and what yet must come. It was vital, it was paramount that these scriptures be fulfilled. As a church, we must never give up the place of the Word of God in our lives. All right, simple point. Pick up your Bible. Would you pick it up, please? This is the best expression of Jesus Christ to His people today. Every experience we have, and we want to experience what's in here, but it needs to be in here. You understand that? This is a living Word. This is the Word of truth. This is our final authority for faith and practice. We are a Christian church. Now, how we apply that word, how we minister that word to non-believers, I'm not sitting here saying you bash them in the face with a Bible. You're the living Bible they're going to see, how you live it out. But we must have as a fundamental, ironclad, hardcore commitment that this is the Word of truth. Now, we may not understand it perfectly, but this is God's Word expressed to us. And the Scriptures must be fulfilled. Okay, replacing Judas is where they went on to. Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, They prayed and said, "You, O Lord." I want to leap ahead and tell you the point of all this because it's so exciting to me. Anyway, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." Now, what's verse 26 say? And they cast their lots. "Pastor Kevin, the lottery is biblical." "And they cast their lots. And the lot fell on Matthias. And he became a millionaire." No. "And he was numbered with the 11 apostles." It's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting set of scripture. Casting of lots. Oh my gracious, gracious, gracious. Okay, well, let's talk about it a little bit. And I do have an interesting point. It was vital to these people that Judas, who left his office, be replaced. Now, what's interesting, later, when James is killed, there is no rush to replace him. But Judas left his office. Jesus said there are 12 thrones, right? Book of Revelation. These were known as the 12. For some reason, at the early church's beginning, it was vital that these be witnesses from beginning to end of the entire ministry of Jesus. Now, having said that, people use this to explain away apostleship today. How many of you understand that Jesus Christ is alive and well today? A few of you sort of maybe think that. Come on, amen?
Amen.
How many of you understand the Spirit of God is alive and well today? How many of you understand the office gifts are being fulfilled in the body of Christ today? There are prophets today. There are apostles today. This is a real book today. It doesn't say on page 50, and this all passed away in 70 AD, down with Jerusalem, down with the gifts. It doesn't say that. Why was it important for the 12? I don't know. But it was important for the 12 that one be chosen to fulfill the place of Judas. Now, some theologians say they made a mistake. This was the first mistake of the early church because later God chose Paul. There's no mistake. In the early church, they were moved on by the Spirit of God. I believe they were obedient to the Spirit of God. You don't have a whole lot of text and history for all the rest of the apostles, but they did what seemed right to them as they obeyed the Spirit. Hey, you tell me it's wrong. They chose a man who walked with Jesus from the beginning to the end of his ministry, who was in one heart, one mind, one ministry with him. Well, I don't believe the Bible shows us this as an error. But I do believe the Bible shows us Paul comes along later as one of the best testimonies to the fact that the apostles weren't just limited to the 12.
Wow.
They're sent out once with ministry, with anointing. Paul comes along later as an afterbirth, if you will, but the apostleship didn't end with the 12. There was the 12. But there's multitudes that have come through the body of Christ. Man, when you take a look and you listen to some of the testimonies of some of the people, there's a woman who has raised up something like 700 or 800 churches throughout Asia. And you want to look at me and say, God's not moving today and there's no such thing as an apostle today. I say to you, that's folly. Open your eyes and take a look. God's doing something bigger than what we think He is. It's real. The Spirit of God's real. The gifts are real. The place of the Scripture, it's real. It's all powerful. Now, together today, you may wonder, why is this so important to emphasize? I am taking the time to emphasize this because there are some fundamental beliefs and persuasions that we need to have lodged in the core of our spirit. What you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you will see God unfolding by the Spirit of God today. If you have eyes to see by the Spirit of God, you will see these things taking place. If you don't believe it's real, you won't see it. I'm trying to help us be a spiritual people who are able to see what God's doing today. Pastor Carl said for a long, long time, what you believe determines how you live. It's true. How many of you understand there's a spirit behind what you believe as well? That's why I've stood in the pulpit over the last many weeks and I've talked, I joke about Port Townsend, but I'm talking about New Age religion. There is a spirit behind a belief. And what you believe will lead you down a road. And that road either leads to heaven or to hell. So it is passionately something we must understand, hold to, and believe. How can you help deliver people from a doctrine of demons? How can you help understand how to lead people away from hell if you don't believe the Bible's true? Doctrines of demons have nothing good for anyone but to destroy their lives. So this is worth being passionate about. Okay. So it was important for them to raise up a replacement for one of the 12. But Paul comes along later in time. Paul did not walk with Jesus. If this were the only testimony of record for how someone could be an apostle, they would then conclude that Paul would not qualify. But the Spirit qualified Paul. All right. I want to make a couple more final thoughts. What's powerful about all this? Let's talk for a minute. You know, sometimes it's hard to determine the will of God. Say amen or oh no, come on, that's true, isn't it? Man, I just wish it was all easy. You know, down from heaven comes a sheet like it did for Peter. And he said, Jesus says, rise up and eat this stuff. Peter still argued with him, but it was clear. He saw it. Technicolor vision, you know. I mean, I wish it was all that clear. And it's just not. So here you have well-meaning apostles who've been with Jesus the whole time. And it's like, okay, we got two guys here who are just great guys. What do we do? Which one? So they cast lots. Now, this is not unbiblical. Proverbs has some scriptures on the Lord is in the one who is in the directing of the casting of lots. And probably what they did is they had the names written on stone and they rolled it out. And what fell out first was the one chosen. Now, why? Okay. I think this is really cool. You can throw stones at me if you don't think it's as cool as I do, but I'm going to conclude with this. I think this is really cool. Why in the rest of the New Testament do you not see lots being cast? That's all right, I'll tell you. I couldn't hear you all, so I mean, maybe you got it. And all right, now, why weren't lots cast? Do you remember back when Moses was on the scene and prophesying started in the camp? And remember, wasn't it Joshua who was jealous? Was it Joshua? Jealous for the Spirit of the Lord, or somebody was jealous, you know, forbid them. Are you all tracking with me? Isn't this real? Yeah, it was. Okay, it's in the scriptures. If I don't, I'll get you the address next week, okay? All right. Or you can all check, see if these things are so. It's in the scripture. The Spirit of God was moving, and it was in the Old Testament, and they said, hey, such and such is over there prophesying. And the man of God says, would that all God's people were prophets. Remember the scripture? Remember? Would that all God's people were prophets. I'll get you the scripture. You're all looking at me quite askance. I'll tell you the story more effectively next week. All right. Now, what happened? The people of God in Israel sinned. They turned against God. He began to send prophets. Individuals moved on by the Spirit of God. Right? And then pretty soon, they became fewer and fewer because the people of God didn't want to hear what God had to say through them. And it became silent. Then you come to the book of Joel where it says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, God says. It's not just a few people who are going to prophesy by the Spirit of God. I want everybody to have the Spirit of God. Then you come over to the New Testament. And in next week's lesson, we're going to see that fulfilled. But what do you have? A group of people who need to know the will of God. And you find casting of lots in the Old Testament, and this is the last place where it happens. Because in the very next set of scriptures, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all these people. And the Holy Spirit is well able to start speaking to us as individuals. And so you don't need the casting of lots. What you need is to quiet your heart and soul and listen to the Spirit of God. Why is it so important that we be spiritual people, that we be close to Jesus? Because we need to hear His voice. We need Him to breathe on which scripture is the one He's trying to fulfill now, and what's the important principle that He wants me to remember right now in this situation. And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will teach us in that hour what to say, that He will be our comfort, that He'll be our strength, and that He'll speak this word to us. And He pours out His Spirit in Acts 2, and the Spirit of God now is poured out on all His people. Jesus ascended to heaven, and He said, greater works you're going to do. Wait until you be endued with power. And I think one of the most beautiful facets of being filled with the Spirit is the ability to listen to the Spirit's voice. This morning's lesson is about transitions. Transitioning from the Gospels to the Acts of the Apostles. Transitioning from the Acts of one man, Jesus, to the Acts of a body. Transitioning from the kingdom in heaven to the kingdom coming on earth. Transitioning from just Jewish believers to a whole host of people who get saved and come in by revival. I think one of the most glorious promises and fulfillments of what Jesus did in the Gospels is to give us relationship with God. And one of the most glorious fulfillments of the Spirit of God, the promise of the Father, is to give us all a capability to hear Him and to listen to Him and to obey Him. Father, we pray that this day that You will speak to our hearts and build Your church the way You want it built. And Lord, we pray that You will take the things from the Scriptures today about transition and that You will change our lives as we wait on You. They gathered, they earnestly sought You. You spoke to them from the Scripture and You poured out Your Spirit. Lord, I'm excited because here we sit today on the verge, I believe, of a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. And Lord, we respond to You. We are Your candidates, Jesus. We see in the Scripture they were filled and then they were filled again and they were filled again. Lord, we pray, fill us again and set this people on fire and set this place on fire by the Spirit of God and change this region for Your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.